Hi, it's Michael Senoff with Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. The title of this interview is called A Sneak Peek into a Successful HMA Practice. Take it, tailor it, and call it anything you like. Brad Gaines will never tell you he's an HMA consultant. Around town, he's known as a business growth advisor and the co-founder of Reset Strategies. But he'll be the first to tell you where he gets his strategies for walking business owners through the process of guaranteed growth without spending any more money on advertising, the HMA system. Brad starts all of his clients off with what he calls a 30-day reset, which is basically the opportunity analysis from the HMA system, which is a CAT scan-like process for determining the areas a business is underperforming in while also finding any lost money. But here's where HMA is different. After 30 days are up, Brad hands his clients a detailed action plan that 97% retain reset strategies to put into action. Clients pay $7,800 for the initial 30-day reset and thousands more per month for a retainer. HMA consultants are usually paid per project. And in this audio, you'll hear all about Brad's amazing success, exactly how he's taken the HMA system and tailored it to his own business needs and styles, along with behind the magic secrets he uses for getting clients fast results. You'll also learn the one area almost no one beats the HMA system in. Brad called all 200 marketing firms in his area, and he's the only one doing this. Most even laughed at the idea. You'll hear about the power of knowing your customers, average lifetime value number, how to leverage off of it to open a floodgate of opportunities, use it to make quicker, smarter business decisions, and determine it using an easy formula. You'll hear the pre-marketing before the marketing Brad's company does to get prospects excited about their 30-day reset long before they even step through the door. You'll also learn a little-known fact. If you open your sales pitches in just the right way, you may never have to worry about closing them again. Here's how Brad does it. You'll hear the four little words Brad added to a nonprofit sales script that sent donations through the roof. You'll hear sales phrases that actually work. Customers will never know these are scripted sales lures because they sound like normal conversation. You'll hear psychological, maybe even sneaky tricks for getting your direct mail open and the three questions you should ask yourself that almost guarantees a successful mailing. You'll learn marketing secrets revealed, how Brad helped the doctor's office improve their rescheduling rate by 42% just by implementing one strategy, the simple change Brad made to the wording of one sales letter that brought in so many clients the business had to hire two more employees and more. Would you like fries with that? Asking that one simple question increased McDonald's profits by billions, and it didn't cost them a cent to implement. That's the kind of marketing strategies Brad hands his clients at the end of their 30-day reset. With the help of the HMA system behind him, he's figured out how to solve their marketing problems by leveraging off the assets they already have. And in this audio interview, you'll hear the amazing way Brad's been putting his spin on the HMA system to make his own, and how you can too. Now let's get going. Hi, I'm Michael Senoff, founder and CEO of HardToFindSeminars.com. For the last 5 years, I've interviewed the world's best business and marketing minds. Along the way, I've created a successful publishing business all from home from my two-car garage. Now my challenge is to build the world's largest free resource for online downloadable MP3 audio business interviews. I knew I needed a site that contained strategies, solutions, and inside angles to help you live better, to save and make more money, to stay healthier, and to get more out of life. I've learned a lot in the last 5 years, and today I'm going to show you the skills you need to survive.
Today we are talking with Brad Gaines. And Brad, glad to have you on the show today.
Thank you. I'm glad you're having me.
So you are with Reset Strategies, and I love that name, but what do you do?
Well, Reset Strategies was named on purpose. You know, when you think of the word reset, most people tend to think of starting over or redoing, and that's exactly what we recommend for most marketing and sales strategies. Most of marketing and sales strategies that businesses implement typically stay stagnant or the same for many years, and they've never really challenged themselves to reset what they're doing to yield the
And so are you a business consultant? Is that how you would define yourself?
Well, formally, yes, Chris, but I don't know if people like the word consultant anymore. We are considered business growth advisors. Marketing consultants would be typical of the label. So we come in and help people who are either stagnating or declining or even growth businesses who want to reset their results, their profits, their margins, and a slew of other things that they've really never sat down and figured out how to do.
Brad, what is so much better about your system of marketing that you use?
Well, it wasn't derived from me, unfortunately. I wish I could take all the credit, but there's 11,000 business books published every 6 months. Most people don't have the time to go out and get that knowledge. Many people don't realize that there are a lot of other great systems already out there that you can just learn from and educate yourself with and use them instead of reinventing the wheel. I don't know if any of your listeners will know who Jay Abraham is, but he's deemed as the $9.4 billion man, probably one of the greatest solo consultants ever to live in terms of getting all you can out of what you've got. And he has certain systems that he uses to help businesses grow. So I was introduced to Jay several years ago, became an avid follower, an avid fan, and just a true believer in his philosophy and trying to understand how his systems worked. Now, if it works for billion-dollar organizations, multi-million-dollar organizations, why wouldn't it work for small business? So as I went on and studied Jay, I ran into the protege of Jay Abraham and then discovered a gentleman named Michael Sinoff, who actually has all the intellectual property in a system called Hidden Marketing Assets. And I tell you, Chris, if I could have been in a leprechaun suit and if there was a rainbow in front of me, that Hidden Marketing Asset system was the treasure of that rainbow. When I found Michael Sinoff and Hidden Marketing Asset, it put everything together for me as a system and a process to use in business, unlike anything I've ever seen before. So I didn't have to reinvent the wheel. I just used what was already successful. But the beautiful part of that whole system, Harvard Business Review had a study come out that 93% of business failures due to lack of execution. That's a big number. Just the ability to implement something, just the ability to execute something, just the ability to get something done, execution. We've all got great ideas, but sometimes they never see the pavement. The Hidden Marketing Asset System, before it came along, we were relying on clients to do everything, and we would talk with them over the phone and see if they had things moving forward. The Hidden Marketing Asset System changed our whole paradigm. The main difference in the system that we use and the system that other people can recommend or teach is we do the execution for the client. People today, most business owners, they want done-for-you consulting, done-for-you strategy, done-for-you implementation, done-for-you sales approaches, done-for-you sales processes. They don't need to know all the specifics. They just want the results. And so we use the Hidden Marketing Asset System, which is all geared toward a structured process that we execute for the client. So what's different about our system is that it comes from people that have made millions of dollars for other people. We've just basically taken it and implemented it in small businesses. And the second reason, we implement everything.
Michael Sinoff's interviews are amazing, and I've listened to so many of them myself. An amazing fellow, very generous and incredible amount of content. But I'm wondering, even though I've known of him for so many years now, I haven't really ever looked into the Hidden Marketing Assets consulting system. I guess my first question that I'm thinking of is there's a lot of systems out there, and like you said, there's a bazillion books on business, and how does it differ from other consulting systems that you've seen, or have you seen other ones? Why did it attract you so much?
I would guess the main reason was I was already a believer in the opportunities that were being leaked in certain businesses. Like I said earlier, most marketing firms don't go in looking for how is a company losing money. They go in looking for, hey, how can they pay us more money so we can get them more advertising? So I was already a believer in the spoiled food concept. You know, have you ever thrown spoiled food out of your refrigerator? You got too busy. You forgot it was there. You passed it over. It didn't sound good. A lot of people stay on the surface of where their business is and where their results are coming from. This particular system is a system that allows you to crack the shell. So it differed from most systems because it went 100 miles deep, Chris, instead of 100 miles wide. So when you look at different systems, many of them content on your website to convert more customers? What would happen if you added prompts to your sales demonstration? What would happen if you had a different follow-up process? What would happen if you changed your wording? What would happen if you found a competitive advantage sitting in your business that you didn't even know existed that you could leverage? What would happen if you already had strategic alliances and you could get them all to help drive more leads to your business, but you just weren't leveraging them all that well? So what was different about that system was it went so deep instead of a wide net. When most people are looking at 50 different things that you can do, here in this system, you only need to do 3 or 4, great.
How do you get your clients?
You know, I got my clients by sheer sweat and faith. Most of it was on the speaking circuit. Most of it was doing high-level impact groups. But this system is the system that our company uses to grow their business and differentiate themselves in the market. We grew 56% in year 2 and 76% in year 3 utilizing this system. So it helped us focus on how everything should be structured from the first 4 weeks to the second 4 weeks, what's the timeline in which we're going to uncover these things. So it laid it all out for us instead of us having to guess or experiment with what we were going to do. So this is a system that we use daily, and it's a system that we really believe in because we're the only company that's sending out messages about finding lost money, and that's what this whole system is about. And there's a psychological trait that more people try to compensate and get away from pain than they try to gain pleasure. So we went after the lost money aspect, which was this whole system works on, and we're able to uncover it utilizing the minds of people who have done it for many, many years. Like I said, we're just bringing it to small business.
You're listening to an exclusive interview found on Michael Senoff's hardtofindseminars.com.
So if you were to describe your business to someone, I mean, what would it look like?
That's a great question. Well, do you know how most people think of marketing?
They don't.
Right? And if they do, they think of it in what way? A chore, a hassle, a frustration, a inconvenience, a money pit. Peter Drucker, who many call the most esteemed executive of our time, was quoted as saying, marketing and innovation are the only things that you need in business. Everything else is a cost. The paradigm that Reset Strategies works on when we're explaining to businesses how we work, 92% of businesses in my area think that the word marketing means advertising, which it can include advertising, but Reset Strategies focuses on growing businesses without spending money on advertising. Most marketing firms deliver in 3 core areas, typically design, advertising, branding. They'll come in, they'll do a little shake-up with the colors, or they'll put together some nicer collateral, or they'll ask you to spend money to reach people on television, radio, magazines, newspapers. But where they stop and where it's mostly a disservice to many businesses is they don't uncover any assets already existing in the business outside the core complexes of what marketing really is. So when you look at many businesses, there's typically 4 to 25 upside leverageability points that unless someone shows or uncovers or cracks the shell to what those are, many businesses just overlook those opportunities. Much of the marketing world, they come in, they say, who do you want to reach? Who's your customer? What's their age? What's their gender? Where do they live? How much do they make? Which is all great, but advertising is one of the most expensive ways to grow your business. And the reason I say that is trying to acquire and attract strangers, new customers, is one of the most expensive ways for growth. So when Reset Strategies is called in, we're called in to help businesses reset how they're going to grow their businesses. And we use a specific formula or a specific growth pattern that details 4 ways to grow instead of focusing on just one, which is where 90% of businesses typically focus on, which is advertising. But there's 3 other ways that many marketing firms don't even talk about, discover, or bring up to clients. The increase of new prospects is one way where you could certainly advertise and try to attract strangers. The second way is increase the average transaction, meaning how much more money can people spend with you. Increasing the average frequency, which means how many times they come back and buy from you over and over. And lastly, increasing the conversion rate. So people have website hits already to their website. Are they converting as many as they can? Many have sales appointments? Are they converting as many as they can? Those three areas, increase the average transaction, increase the average frequency, and increase the conversion rate. If you do all of those along with increasing new prospects, and by the way, advertising isn't the only way you can increase your referrals because those are new too. When you do all of those together, you can experience growth in each area, 10, 15, 20%. And by the time you have all four of those working in a system, you can have exponential growth across your whole company.
Are you the only owner or do you have partners?
Yes, ma'am. Myself and another business partner, along with other advisors and partners that help with strategic plans. But that's another difference that we've chosen to have in the market. You know, most marketing firms are limitless, meaning, oh, bring me all the clients you can. Reset Strategies has chosen the business model of being limited. So we only take on a certain number of clients each year, and instead of passing or handing off to junior partners, which most marketing firms do, the clients that we work with only deal with the principals, which is myself and another gentleman.
And what kind of clients do you normally have?
Well, we don't focus on any specific industry. We have experience in over 117 industries, but B2B is where we tend to focus, where there's a sales force that we can leverage, a database that we can leverage, joint ventures that we can leverage, strategic alliances that we can leverage, sales approaches that we can reset, marketing angles that we can reset. So the only types of clients that we're not a great fit for are startup clients who don't really have any assets to leverage. So we work with businesses that are typically doing anywhere between $2 million to $25 million and have been in existence for about 5 years. And so the way that we tend to get relationships with clients is most businesses don't have a plan. They have a business plan that they filled out at one time, or maybe someone else filled it out for them, and it talks about a mission statement, a value statement, but it's not a real action plan. The way that we realized was a disservice to business owners was when you wanted to do marketing or you wanted to grow your business, two things were happening. One, your decision was made by default. And what I mean by that, it was typically made when a media rep, someone that sells newspaper, magazines, yellow pages, radio, would knock on your door and present an opportunity to you to broadcast your message. Then and there was the only time that many businesses thought about, oh, okay, yeah, do some advertising. The second was when you went to commit and decide to do that type of advertising, you were asked to sign a contract. Whether or not you knew, you would get results. So it was really a hope and pray method. So it's like, yeah, we'll put your message out there and hopefully you get some leads. Reset Strategies took a different approach and we said, it's not fair for business owners to take up on all the risk when they don't know what they'll be getting or what the return will be. So we removed all that stress and all that risk on the business owner's shoulders, and we said, hey, the way to get started with Reset Strategies is we go through a 30-day reset. And a 30-day reset is a CAT scan, 360-degree view assessment of what your business is doing, how it's performing, where it's underperforming, where's the overlooked opportunities, where's the underperforming activities. And mainly, it's to share and demonstrate how you're losing $1 million or more in lost revenue. It's a very intensive, a very structured approach to finding lost money. Once we go through the 30-day reset, we find the lost money. We then put together an action plan that a business owner can sink their teeth into, and they can take that plan, implement it in-house, or they can take that plan and give it to another marketing firm to implement, or they can retain Reset to shadow their efforts on the action plan that we've all built together in 30 days. There is a nominal investment for the 30-day reset that's guaranteed to be 5 times the value of that investment. If you feel like you don't get 5 times the value, or if we can't find $1 million or more in lost revenue, you pay nothing.
Is the reset one of the main differences?
In my area, there's, I think, about 200 marketing firms. And we can all sound the same to many people. Unfortunately, most things are commoditized. We've got great ideas, great people, great staff, great customer service. We can help make you money. We can help save you money. We can help ease your stress. We can help put you on vacation more. We can help you with systems. We can help you with processes. So it's hard to differentiate with any service provider anymore on what someone can actually do because we all sound the same. I don't know if you're familiar with McKinsey Consulting. During some acquaintance meetings that I had with some of their top-level advisors or the mastermind session, Iowa, I guarantee. And that really perked my ears up because you don't really hear about return on investment guarantees in marketing. We've actually called all 201 marketing firms in our area and asked them if they guaranteed results. Most of them laughed at us, and the others said, no, we can't guarantee what the market will do. We can't control that, which is accurate. It's still not fair for a business owner. The biggest thing that sets us apart is we guarantee a 3-to-1 ROI on the annual plan, the action plan that we give you at the end of the 30-day reset. And if you don't receive it, you get a full refund or you just basically stop the relationship. So we're really putting ourselves out there, and we don't recommend plans unless we feel like we can get a 3-to-1 ROI. But there's no one within 500 miles guaranteeing an ROI in this space, and we've decided to do so and have been doing so for 3 years.
And has that been an effective way to get new clients?
It has been a very effective way to get new clients because what most people refer you for is the 3-to-1 ROI guarantee.
And how many have you had to refund?
Well, we haven't had to refund any. All of our clients are on retainer for the year, but we did have to let go of one client simply because the 3-to-1 ROI also, we're going to put our neck out there. We need the client green light and implement things. If they're unwilling or not wanting to or not caring enough, we simply can't work with that client. If we ever get in a situation where we feel like we care more about the business than the owner does, we'll just have to back out.
For more exclusive interviews on business, marketing, advertising, and copywriting, go to Michael Senoff's hardtofindseminars.com.
So it's almost like a partnership situation, it sounds like.
Well, it's a marriage for sure. You know,
right.
It's very structured, Chris. The 30-day reset, it's so front-end heavy on research, observation, just looking down the list of deliverables that occur during a 30-day reset. We have a mystery shopping firm that we partner with that we scope out all the businesses that we work with within that 30-day reset. So they'll get mystery shopped in person. They'll get mystery shopped on the phone. All the recordings and all the information will come back to us on how the transaction was, how was the interaction. There's video that's taken so that we can get a real picture of what's really going on. You see, business owners have the best of intention when you ask them how they think their marketing or sales systems are being implemented by employees. And many of them want to believe it's perfect. So without that kind of data on the front end, it's hard for anybody to make a case that they need to reset or do anything differently. So reset strategies is all about demonstration and where you are losing money. So we have a mystery shopping deliverable. We have a 25-page SEO analysis that's conducted, PPC analysis that's conducted, website conversion that's conducted. We send their website off to usability testers and gauge how they're navigating through websites with feedback. Oh, I can't find the phone number. I don't see how to get a hold of somebody. All that information is brought back into report style. All of this is happening while we're going on sales appointments. We're actually calling current clients, getting feedback, insights, and opinions from them. Then we have 4 to 6 90-minute strategic sessions that's required with the business owner or the internal champion of the reset plan. So there's tons and tons and tons of value on the front end because we believe in giving first. If you think about that for a minute, a lot of service providers ask for tons of money up front before they ever produce anything. This reset actually is one of the most valuable months, according to year 60, that we have done in 3 years. Businesses who've been in business for 20 years, 25 years, 30 years, it's the most valuable month they said they've ever been through because it gave them a helicopter view and a pulse on what was really happening in their company. I think that's another difference, Chris, of all of the information that they get on how exactly things are occurring in their business, whether it be with service, with customers, with sales appointments, and pricing, and product opinion, and what their clients feel, and what non-clients feel. We'll actually interview people that have never even purchased or heard of this company before, and we'll gain a lot of insights from that. So it's very, very heavily loaded on the front end to show and demonstrate, hey, there's room here for opportunity. It's time to reset.
Do you find a lot of business owners are surprised by some of the data that you come up with?
Absolutely shocked. Give you a great example. One of the things, just a theory of mine, is that overconfidence is killing businesses. You know, it's good to be confident about what's happening with your business and where it's going and what you're providing, but overconfidence is the silent killer. So if you don't think that there's something that you can improve in your business or you're not losing money, you're simply saying you have nothing new to learn about your business. You're really constricting it from its full potential. A perfect example is we have a client, a very large statewide organization, who by law are supposed to be asking a question to every person that does a transaction in this particular space. And there's 125 counties in Kentucky with the average staff of maybe 5 to 10. So you're talking 300 people across the state of Kentucky who by law are supposed to be asking a certain question for this particular organization. When we employed people across the state to see if, whether or not the question was being asked, it wasn't. And it's actually illegal not to be asking the question that was supposed to be asked. And the executive director of the statewide organization, along with the government entity of one of the specialized departments, was absolutely baffled that that could be occurring, because before they were so confident that everybody was asking. And so we just had to demonstrate that that wasn't happening. And at the end of the day, sometimes it doesn't have to be rocket science to grow your business. Sometimes you just have to have people do the things they're supposed to. It really doesn't take that much. It's a conundrum that they're in where, unfortunately, in this day and age, people want things on their time and on their convenience and when they want it. If you're a business not willing to give that, you'll suffer. We've had one of the greatest return on investments with an ophthalmologist client. Just giving you some little background, he's been in business for 27 years and very stable practice, but with the Affordable Care Act and all the Medicare cuts and all the reimbursement cuts, he's really been faced with decreased revenue based on the services provided because the insurance isn't just paying out like it used to. We noticed during the 30-day reset, several people would call and cancel their scheduled eye exams or scheduled appointments that they had. Now, the office said, okay, thank you for calling. So most people just hung up the phone. They didn't have a process or a system to get those people back on the schedule. Most people have the best of intentions to call back, reschedule their appointment. Most people have a busy life. It doesn't revolve around the business like the business owner wants to think, that people are thinking about us all the time. We took the theory of no child left behind, which was instituted in the Bush era, and we called it no patient left behind. And that strategy was every time someone called to cancel their appointment, there was at least an effort to get them rescheduled on the phone. That's something simple that wasn't even happening. Just by instituting one more question, we were able to get an increase of 18 to 19% reschedule rate. After that, we had another backup process that at the end of the week, we made one person responsible for no patient left behind, and we called back every customer. And I'm talking it could be anywhere between 50 to 100 patients that week that would cancel. And we would call back with a script, obviously, that Reset wrote. This person would call back and they would reschedule over 42% of those appointments. And at the end of 6 months, this thing was delivering a 39-to-1 ROI.
That's dramatic.
Ask me, Chris, how much money did that cost them?
Probably not much.
We were already using the resources they already had, the same staff. We found a girl who needed more work during the hours she was working, and we used her ability of talking with people, developing relationships. It didn't cost anything. Now, this company had spent thousands of dollars over the course of 20-something years in advertising and direct mail and cinema ads and television ads and radio ads, and they could never track a return, but they never had a process or system to deal with some of the most simplest things. So those are the types of strategies that Reset puts into place, and I can't justify the types of strategies that continue to keep giving and giving year after year, because that's not a promotion. That keeps paying off every week because people are going to cancel, right? Versus a one-off promotion, which is just a lead aggregator to get people in. This strategy he can use for his lifetime. It's not just a one-time promotional deal. It's a consistent system, much like the franchise prototype, creating systems and processes, much like McDonald's. And if you really break McDonald's down into several different systems, it's absolutely amazing the types of systems and processes that they have. That's the type of stuff that businesses worked their tails off. They've helped people pay their own mortgages. They've helped feed people. They do so much that they can't do it all. So trying to create better systems and better processes from where they're leaking money is one way that they can start seeing some real results without that much effort.
So how do you set up an appointment with a client?
There's several ways in which we do. At the end of our 30-day reset, clients get a discount if they call four of their business associates instead of meeting four. The other way is we're invited to several different high-level impact groups, CEO mastermind groups, in which we'll do workshops and seminars on how to find $1 million or more in an hour is the title. The other way that we do is we send out sequential mail talking about finding lost money and do you have a treasure map and do you have a growth plan. That's how we get a majority of our clients. I have contributed with one of the highest paid copywriters on the planet. His name is Dan Kennedy. I was able to contribute and co-author a book with him recently that's really got some attention in the direct marketing world because he's a direct marketing expert. So we now have people calling us asking for certain information, certain advice. So we do a more along the expertise marketing than just books and content and reports. And my business partner was interviewed on the Brian Tracy show recently. He's doing a book with Steve Forbes. So we get all of our clients off of referrals, off the deals we do with businesses already.
You're listening to an interview on Michael Senoff's hardtofindseminars.com.
And did a lot of these ideas come from using the ideas in HMA marketing?
A lot of the copy and content and the way to project things in front of clients came from HMA, but the referral strategy in regard to getting names once people sign the dotted line to get a reduced investment, that was something that I'd been doing for quite some time that seemed to work really well. As far as the HMA system, the main driver of that with new customers that we don't know has been the workshop ideas that I gained from that system and implementing the $1 million or more in an hour or how to identify $10,000 or $1 million or more of lost opportunity in your business. That all came from the HMA system.
How many workshops do you actually do, and then what kind of results do you see as far as people signing up from those?
We try to do at least one or two of those a month, and we'll typically get, if a room's got 20 business owners or so, there's a strategy some people use where they say, hey, if you'd like more information, you can put your name in a bucket or you can send an email. I like to engineer the opportunity and make people more uncomfortable. I actually like to go around the room and actually ask if they like more information. So with that being said, more people are hesitant to say no to you in front of everybody else. So you'll typically get 100% of the contact information at these workshops.
And how do you get the people to the workshop?
That's done by invitation. We actually print out tickets and we have giveaways. We send them the treasure map and where they're going to find lost money in an hour, the workbook that they're going to get, which came from the HMA system. We take them through that, through promotional social media connections that we've got or other clients inviting other business owners. The coordinators of a lot of the high-level impact groups of our local chambers will do a lot of marketing for us too, because we've done some pro bono work for them. So we've really leveraged our relationships with people that have access to traffic.
And do you charge for the workshop?
We do charge for some workshops. Some workshops are anywhere between $59 to $79. And if they'd like an extended session, which is a private session after that workshop and a lunch, it's typically $279 with 75% of the proceeds going to a local charity that we sponsor.
When you do set up an appointment with a client, where do you normally meet them?
We typically meet in their environment first, so we'll travel to the business owner's place of business. But within that 30-day reset, which is 4 to 6 meetings minimum, typically half of those will either be at our office or at a neutral destination, so they get out of the normal environment of people coming in, asking them questions. So it's a mixture of 3 places.
And what do you do once you meet with the person?
We take them through what we call an opportunity analysis, which is what I gathered from the Hidden Marketing Asset System. And it's a 3 or 4 page opportunity analysis that allows the client to explain to you where they might possibly be losing money. And it has every question that you need to ask, what you need to look for, what you need to talk about. And once that opportunity analysis is completed, then we'll go through and we'll actually demonstrate how the 30-day reset will work. And we share with them what that will look like and also what they'll get at the end, along with all the case studies that we have and and the plans that we have, of course, with all the names confidentially blurred out. But I think the most important thing that happens, Chris, is not at the appointment, it's before the appointment. Purposefully, we'll set an appointment 2 weeks out or a week out so that we can precondition their thought process and expose the opportunity before we even get there. So we'll send them a book, we'll send them a report, we'll send them some testimonials, some video testimonials, an endorsement letter from clients. We really get them involved 7 to 14 days before we even come in. So once we get there, they're either going to love what we've been saying or they're going to hate what we've been saying. But we're willing to take that risk because 90% of people love what we've been saying. So the pre-marketing before the appointment, I think, is sometimes where people don't realize that those are action points and a way to position yourself before you even arrive. Again, an overlooked opportunity for many salespeople and many consultants.
So how do you close the client, Brad?
If you open well, you don't have to close. I remember following Zig Ziglar, Brian Tracy, Tom Hopkins, Tom Peters, a lot of the great sales trainers. And at that time, in that era, it was all focused on how to do the close. I don't have anywhere near the experience of those guys or the background, but I believe closing should be the simplest situation once you've demonstrated on the front end the opportunities that they can have. To give you an answer to how exactly, it's just one statement, and it typically makes sense to me. What do you think? That's it. So opening well is something that I don't think is practiced very often in sales approaches. Personally, that is an area where we have really excelled, and the reason for our growth is we open differently with engagement, entertainment, props, education, demonstration. The 30-day reset is a different process, Chris, because we're with these people for the next 35 to 40 days, almost daily, with some kind of interaction or engagement. By the time they get to the end to get the action plan, if they haven't been bought in by that moment, and the great thing is they're building the plan with us. See, that's the magic behind it. So when we deliver the plan, they're not confused or surprised, like, where did that come from? It's like, yeah, that's exactly what we want, because they've helped build it. So the close rate on a 30-day reset to retainer is running at 97%. We virtually don't have anybody not go on retainer.
Can I ask, what kind of numbers are we talking about? How much do you charge for this kind of thing?
Well, the 30-day reset is $7,800. It sounds very different than most things that are $1,500 or $2,000. $7,800 investment on a 30-day reset. If you're not satisfied up to five times the value, we pay you back over $35,000. But your $7,800 reset comes with something you've never had before, which is a strategic growth plan. So you're paying for a plan that you can sink your teeth into that has an ROI guarantee of 3 to 1. And the great news is that $7,800 for the 30-day reset is credited to your annual investment.
I'd love to hear about someone that you guys have helped.
I guess my personal favorite, Chris, is a little outside the business world. One that just I think is pretty cool. Earlier, I was telling you about a nonprofit who was tasked with growing dollar donations and organ donations. It's a very sensitive topic. They had spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on advertising and awareness so that more people would donate a dollar or more people would say yes to, hey, I'd like to help save a life if I can. 80% of states outperformed Kentucky in the consent rate and the dollar donation rate. And it was like that 5 years, even though they were spending six figures on advertising heavily. They called us, asked, how can we grow without advertising? So one of the interesting things was because of the mystery shop that we did for them, earlier I told you we found out that 90% of these people weren't even asking the question. We were able to go and observe all the license branches in the state of Kentucky and determine many people weren't even asking if they'd like to donate a dollar or help save a life. So we said, okay, we'll actually just start asking in this manner, and we changed the statement in which they were supposed to ask for dollar donations and to help save a life. Mark Twain is quoted as saying, the difference between the right word and the wrong word is the difference between lightning and lightning bug. One will kill you. So we actually changed three words that they added to their question. Within 3 months, we were able to increase dollar donations and help save a life registry 44% just by updating the question and making sure it was being asked. It was the largest year they've had since they went into existence.
For more interviews like this, go to hardtofindseminars.com.
I would imagine they're not spending as much on advertising.
Exactly. And more people are living. I mean, that one's cool to me because we just updated a question when most people wouldn't even look at that part. They would look at, well, we need to change your message. We need to get an endorsement. We need to get a celebrity. We need to be on a different radio station. We need to be on a different TV station. Maybe if we change the color to blue. So we're going, hey, you know what? You know what McDonald's says when I go and order a cheeseburger? They ask me if I'd like fries with that. Boy, isn't that interesting. That one simple question, while the transaction was taking place, has generated billions of dollars of profit to McDonald's, and it cost them zero. So if 95% of Kentuckians are already aware of organ donation, great, you've done your job. But what you really need them to do is say yes at the window. Take action. So you've spent enough money on awareness. We're all aware. But how do we get more people to say yes? So the original question was, would you like to donate a dollar to the Organ Donor Registry of Kentucky? We added, would you like to help save lives and donate a dollar to the Kentucky Organ Donor Registry? And dollar donations went through the roof. So the approach can be important, but it's so overlooked. Think about the complexity of helping, Chris. Most people don't even think of helping as being a complex situation, but I want to give you an example of how complex helping really is. Have you ever seen someone in public slip and fall in a public environment?
Sure.
Have you ever watched what happens when someone asks if they can help them up?
Yeah, well, a lot of times people say no.
Bingo. We don't want to admit we need help. We don't want to be embarrassed. Now, isn't that interesting? Yet when you walk in to 98% of retail establishments, what's the first question they ask you?
Can I help you?
No, you can't. Think about that, right? So the culture of people don't want help. I mean, it's evident when someone falls, you would think that'd be the most effective time for them to say, yeah, help me up. But we don't want to admit our weaknesses because we don't want to expose our vulnerability. Same thing in a sales process. And the reason why I bring this example up is we had a high-end interior design flooring store that we work with. On observation, we noticed that as soon as people entered the shop or the showroom, the first question, 100% of the time, is, can I help you? And they had 62% of people saying no for years. So, again, not because we're creative geniuses, we were familiar with the studies that had been done on different testing phrases in a retail environment of a furniture store in Detroit that increased appointments 25, 30% or something like that. And we came to them and we said, from now on, we want you to ask, are you working on, and say a specific room. You walk in, oh, are you working on your bathroom? Your subconscious immediately wants to either say, yes, I am, or no, I'm not. I'm working on my kitchen. The customer literally would tell you what they were working on. So that question was simply a plant for the answer that you wanted. But no customer realizes that's a sales question. It's disguised. So we instituted these on-purpose questions to be corrected. That was the strategy. We want to be corrected by people that come in. Oh, are you working on your kitchen? No, I'm working on my bathroom. Oh, are you working on your bathroom? No, I'm working on my bedroom. Oh, are you working on your bathroom? No, I'm working on my living room. Worked every time. So when that was stated, they would say, okay, great. They would be able to start a conversation. That particular store, which had a horrible location, it was very difficult to get to, which that was another challenge. But that particular store, they increased their appointment from showroom to home demo almost 52% in a matter of 7 months just by doing a different approach. There's a lot of psychological elements when it comes to Mark. If I send you something in the mail and I twist the stamp a little bit to the right side, more people will open it because it looks like someone personally sent it and it's off-center and it doesn't look like it was machine. If I put something inside of it like a card or something 3D that's sort of sticking out, more people will open it. If I put a message on the outside saying, surprise, something inside, more people will open it. If I put a courier font on the outside, more people will open it. If I put handwritten on the outside, more people will open it. So you see there's so many variables. Got one business owner who says, direct mail doesn't work for me. You've got another business owner who understands how psychological it is to get attention. He's going, the best thing I've ever done. So at the end of the day, you've got to look at different approaches and different ways to stand out and get attention. And unfortunately, most people don't go that deep. They just say, oh, you need to send them the brochure. You need to act like you know what they're into. Oh, you go in their office. They like fishing. If you see a boat, do they like boating? All this rapport building bullcrap. say, how do you get people to give you the answers you're looking for in a way that they don't feel like you're looking for them in a regular sales situation? Those are just a couple of ways, just on some simple manners of just the easiness of changing words can affect whether or not you get an opportunity or whether you lose.
What do you think most business owners are doing wrong?
Well, they're thinking transactionally. What I mean by that is most people don't think about the average lifetime value of a customer. They only think about the one transaction that they make. So I'll give you an example. We all go grocery shopping. We've all probably gone to the same grocery store for 40 or 50 years, depending upon how long we've lived in an area. And we've spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on groceries at one particular location, whether it's a Meijer or Kroger. I don't know what you got in California. And the moment you walk back into that grocery store with a problem, oh, my milk is spoiled or my bread is moldy, and the management gives you attitude and says, oh, well, we can't give you a refund because it's out of whatever their rule is, they really have never thought about the hundreds of thousands of dollars that you have spent in that store. They are only thinking about, oh, my gosh, you want me to give you $4 back? Are you kidding me? They're thinking transactionally. Most people never get to the number that they need to grow their business and know what they can spend and should spend on marketing, which is the average lifetime value. And the average lifetime value is very easy to calculate. You take the number of transactions that you've had divided by the number of people who've made them, and you come out with an average, just like Dow Jones or an accountant could do. And I understand it ranges. It could be $10 or $40, but you'll get an exact average. And when you start thinking about the $50,000 you get from customers on the back end for them to keep coming back and buying your stuff, you'll stop wanting to say, I don't want to spend anything to get new customers, or I don't want to spend anything to get customers. I just want them to walk in here. I want to spend the least to get new customers. When you could essentially spend exactly what you know you need to spend based on the average lifetime value and be fine on the back end. I think overall, businesses think transactionally versus average lifetime value and the relationship and the profits that have come in for the long term versus the short term. You know, average lifetime value is a 2.5-hour workshop that we do, because if you can really grasp the numbers, as a matter of fact, Steve Forbes approached us on this concept. The title of it is called Know Your Damn Number, D-A-M, not the curse word. And it's a play on of how you can open a dam of new business if you know this number and how it stays closed when you don't. And so we're contributing to Successonomic with Steve on that concept of how to calculate your average lifetime value and how to act on your average lifetime value when you think about the back end versus thinking about the front end. Amazon is a great example of average lifetime value. They give you Amazon Prime for $79, and somebody's going, oh, my gosh, we're going to go broke. We can't be shipping things all across the country for that amount. And the smart guy in the room said, but, sir, because it seems free, they'll spend 500% more. Netflix is another great example. Can you imagine the guy in the room at that strategy meeting? Yeah, we're going to send out DVDs for $7 a month. What? What if people order 20 DVDs? The smart guy in the room says, actually, sir, people order 1.2 DVDs a month. That will never happen. They know their damn number, DAM. Insurance is the same example. Do you know what you pay for your monthly insurance for your car?
Yeah.
Is it worth more than what you pay monthly?
Oh, yeah.
How's that? How in the world could they be charging you 50, 60, 70% less, 500% less than what your car's worth? They know the numbers. They've ran the numbers of the likelihood of you getting into an accident or causing one. They know their numbers. And when you know your numbers, you can create a new focus and clarity on what it would take to get new customers to your door, and you can spend the correct amount of money. Because you may actually be spending more than you need to, which is cost per acquisition, which is another model that most business owners don't calculate. It's how much money it's costing you to get people through the door. So if you spend $1,000 on, you know, a newspaper ad and you got two people to respond, that's $500. For that opportunity. Most people don't run that number, so they don't have any numbers working for them to have clear focus on what to spend and what they should spend. So other than overconfidence, not knowing the average lifetime value of their client base, I think is the biggest killer.
You're listening to an exclusive interview found on Michael Sinoff's HardToFindSeminars.com.
And where do you see people wasting money?
Well, unfortunately, they send out Me Too marketing messaging. And when I say Me Too, I mean quotation M-E hyphen T-O-O, like, hey, Me Too. Hey, I do this too. Hey, I do interior design too. Hey, I sell furniture too. Hey, I sell cars too. There's no value proposition on the front end or offer. So when you look at where they're wasting money, is they're sending out advertising that just has their phone number and it's institutional. You know, it just looks like a business card on a big fat piece of nice TV screen or nice paper, and it doesn't screen for anybody's attention. Where they're losing bigger money, Chris, is in their own database. I can't tell you how many times we run into businesses who have never marketed to their database, meaning customers that come in on their own or that come in once over the 72-month period, they never marketed to their database. I'll go back to the ophthalmologist. Culturally, most people don't like to go get their eyes checked, just like a dentist. Heck, just like a physical. I mean, look at America in general. Like, we're obese and out of shape, and yet only a portion of us ever go to a physical or do any kind of exercise. So culturally, you're fighting this battle of prevention maintenance, especially in the health field. And this gentleman had almost 4,000 patients that had not been in for their annual eye exam in 3 or 4 years. You're supposed to come every year. But he had never marketed to them in a way that got them excited or got them back into the offices. They would just send a shame on you letter, basically. That's how it read. When you opened it up, it would say, hey, you know, you're supposed to be coming in here. We haven't seen you. Your eyes are important. You know, it was one of those lecture letters. And we mine that database. We send out the reset way. The reset way is to send out what we call lumpy mail, L-U-M-P-Y mail, which is mail that's not actually packaged or in an envelope. It's actually mailed as a 3D product. How many letters and postcards have you ever received in your mailbox over your lifetime?
Probably a lot.
How many messages in a bottle have you ever received in your mailbox?
None.
Great. Knowing that, we sent a real bottle, a plastic bottle, in the mail to all 4,000 patients. The open rates on those things are ginormous, by the way. And inside the bottle is a parchment letter, looks like a scroll that's burnt on the edges, got sand in it, I mean, the whole nine. And you opened it up and it said, oops, will you accept our We Goofed gift card? Now, I want to go back earlier to what I said. The letters that were coming to all people was, shame on you, you haven't been in here, putting all the blame on the customer, right? We took all the blame in this particular messaging point and we said, oh, my gosh, sorry, we haven't gotten in touch with you sooner. I think the headline was, we've lost you, you know, message in a bottle being lost. Will you accept our We Goofed gift card? And it was a story about, oh, my gosh, I just checked my patient record the other day and realized we hadn't seen you in, and then we had variable data that showed the exact month it had been since they'd been in the office. We hadn't seen you in over 36 months, and I wish my office would have reached out to you sooner, something that we've done. I want you to call and tell me about it, but the least I thought I could do was put this offer in here for you. We had a special offer, and we recorded and tracked the phone calls. We used dedicated tracking numbers on all marketing materials so we can actually see who's responding. In 3 months, and he's been in business for 27 years, he broke 3 revenue records, month one, month two, and month three of this campaign. He had to hire 2 new doctors. That was in his database. He just ignored them. They were orphans. He never thought about them, going back to this spoiled food example. Those are the types of things where people waste money or they lose money if they don't leverage all the opportunities they have sitting right under their nose. And if they could only see them, which typically comes from an outside perspective, they'll never discover them. So it's having that intellect and that expertise that knows how to find, mind, and get results from what you're not doing. And the beautiful part was the upsells that they had in the dispensary, which is in the eye world. The dispensary is the eye frames and the glasses. They were even adding on top of their margin. And when we recorded the phone calls, what was awesome for a marketer, when people called up, Chris, they would say, hi, this is Tanya Hutchins. I got this really cool, crazy bottle from Dr. Madison, and it said that he hadn't seen me in 24 months. That was everybody's first statement. Like, they really grabbed on to how long it had been. And that, as a marketer, was very glorifying because to get attention anymore is often unheard of. I mean, attention is one of the scarcest resources on the planet. out. How do you get attention? How do you cater to your database? How do you get people having fun, making it easy, appealing, and fun to do business with you? It doesn't have to be so serious all the time. And he absolutely cleaned house with this campaign. It was the most successful thing he'd ever done.
That is a great story. And, Brad, you sound like an amazingly creative guy. How much the HMA system helped you with this?
The system itself gave us the whole 30-day reset. We knew what to do in meeting one, meeting two, meeting three, meeting four, meeting five, meeting six, the whole nine. So it allowed us to focus and have an agenda on every meeting, whereas before we were just scattered. It was sloppy. People don't like sloppy. They like structure and approach. The one thing that I can say that helped our model tremendously was having the HMA system tell us what to focus on in the 30-day reset. Without that piece, we wouldn't be where we are today.
I think I just would like to leave people with a few more stories.
We work with an elevator company, not very sexy. That's not a hot industry. You know, for 52 years, there has been elevator companies who have contracts. So if you're a building owner or property manager, you would sign a contract with a elevator company for 3, 4, 5 years, sometimes even 10, believe it or not. You were locked into it. So we were called in by an elevator company, and not that they said, hey, guys, we need to say something different. See, a lot of people call us in, Chris, thinking that they want to do one thing, but then we end up resetting in a way they've never even thought about. So we were originally called in for some online optimization and eventually worked ourselves into the ultimate reset, which is where we look at every different process and strategy and system and procedure. And for 52 years, when you called someone as a salesperson in the elevator industry and you said, oh, hi, this is John from Elevators R Us, the guy on the other end of the phone would go, oh, we're already in an elevator contract. And a salesperson would have to say, oh, okay, well, do you know when it ends? 3 or 4 years from now? Okay, great, sir. I'll put you on the follow-up list. Like they never even got an opportunity because they were in a contract. So this is where the average lifetime value comes into play. He had never calculated his average lifetime value. It happened to be $25,000. And what that meant was for every transaction and every deal that he got, he typically, on average, with repair work, maintenance work, service work, on average, yielded $25,000 worth of revenue. Now, monthly maintenance contracts, however, are typically anywhere between $100 to $200 a month for the course of however many years they have on. So we were the first and only elevator industry in the world to create a buyout policy. Because what we found during our 30-day reset and the clients that we talked to and the non-clients that we talked to is if they had stakes and they were picketing out in front of their business, on that sign it would say, we hate contracts. So we picked up on that. You'll notice T-Mobile is doing a little bit of that. We went in and created a buyout policy, just like Insight Cable will do in my region. They'll actually buy out your contract if you're with another provider, depending upon how much time you have left on the contract. A beautiful strategy because it's based on guaranteeing you a customer versus spending that same amount of money on advertising strangers. We then implemented the buyout policy along with the only contract-free elevator company. It's the only contract-free elevator company in the United States. There's no contract. The only one. So now when a salesperson calls and they say, hi, this is Jimmy from Elevators R Us. Oh, thanks for calling, man, but, you know, I'm already in a contract. Oh, yes, and that's exactly why I'm calling. Are you familiar with our buyout policy? Appointment rate shot through the roof. So instead of spending $3,000 or $4,000 in these association trade journals or newspapers, we literally went into these businesses and we bought out their contract from the competitor and acquired the business using average lifetime value as our barometer. Now he's the fastest growing elevator company in Kentucky. But this is performance based, Chris. So what I mean by that is the only time you would ever pay off a contract is if somebody said, yes, I'll go with your company. It's performance based versus hope and pray. So you know you're getting the deal once you buy them out. And secondly, they agreed we pay off the contract that they've got with their provider, 3 years or less, and they also agreed to do all the repair work through this company. Now they have the best of both worlds. They can acquire contracts because people don't like them. They don't have contracts, people like that, and they get the repair work before they even get to the agreement to start working on their monthly maintenance service until it's up. He's created basically a line of people going anywhere between 6 months and 3 years from now, where he's virtually ever had no opportunities to get in, he's got upwards of 50 to 65 properties and buildings in waiting. Once their contract runs out with that company, they've already agreed to go with it. Talk about anticipated revenue. It's a lot. And again, the USP is the only contract-free elevator company. No one heard that, and that's very foreign to this market and to any elevator market. Like, what? No contract. How does that work? It allows you to start a conversation. That's the unique selling proposition. So when I went down that line earlier, quality products, knowledgeable staff, friendly prices, great hours, everybody sounds just like that, except for this client who says, yeah, we're the only contract-free elevator company in the country. No one else can say that. That's the power of a unique selling proposition.
I hope you found this helpful, and it gives you lots of good ideas of how flexible the HMA system is and how you can implement it into your daily consulting practice. Whether you're selling websites, consultative work, project work, or copywriting services, HMA has something to offer. For more information on the HMA system, please contact Michael at senoff.michael@gmail.com. That's senoff.michael@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.